O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. Please repeat. At that time, Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated in the chariot, bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra, drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. So I'll tell you in a minute what he said. Purport. The battle was just about to begin. It is understood from the above statement that the sons of Dhritarashtra were more or less disheartened by the unexpected arrangement of the military force by the Pandavas, who were guided by the direct instructions of Lord Krishna on the battlefield. The emblem of Hanuman on the flag of Arjuna is another sign of victory, because Hanuman cooperated with Lord Ram in the battle between Ram and Ravan, and Lord Ram emerged victorious. Now, both Ram and Hanuman were present on the chariot of Arjuna to help him. Lord Krishna is Ram himself, and wherever Lord Ram is, his eternal servitor Hanuman and his eternal consort Sita, the goddess of fortune, are present. Therefore, Arjuna had no cause to fear any enemies whatsoever. And above all, the Lord of the senses, Lord Krishna, was personally present to give him direction. Thus, all good counsel was available to Arjuna in the matter of executing the battle. In such auspicious conditions, arranged by the Lord for his eternal devotee, lay the signs of assured victory. Again, Timrandasha, Ginanjala, Shalakaya, Chakshuram Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Taitanya Manobistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Swapadantikam, Fondeham Shri Guru, Shri Yutapadakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaisnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sakrijatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitam Cha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Rate Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasari Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. At that time, Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated in the chariot, bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes several of the signs of victory, and one of the signs of victory was, who remembers from the previous verse, one of the signs of victory that we already had? The transcendental conch shells, which is one of the symbols of Vishnu. And then also the flag with Hanuman on it, and then the fact that Krishna is the goddess, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and she never leaves her husband, so the goddess of fortune will be wherever Krishna is, and he is personally on the chariot. And the chariot was donated by Agni, remember, from verse 14? So there's a story in Krishna book, chapter 58, about the That Agni eats the kind of a forest. Agni is feeling a little bit weak, and so he says, I need some special herbs, medicinal herbs, which are growing in the Kandava forest. But this forest belongs to Indra. So every time Agni tries to have some lunch in the forest, burning the forest, Indra throws down some water to put out the fire. So when Krishna and the Pandavas are living in Indraprast, which is actually the Kandava forest and surrounding area, so they arrange that they'll protect Agni while he does his job, and Indra is kept at bay. And so Agni is so pleased, he donates to Arjuna his chariot, his Gandiva bow, and a quiver, which is where they keep the arrows, which will never get empty. It's an invincible quiver. So as many arrows as he takes out, he will always have arrows. And this chariot with four white horses, wherever it's used in all the three worlds, victory is guaranteed. So Krishna is driving this chariot, and Krishna is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although not everybody at that time realized it. So I found a nice story. Oh, it mentioned Ram in the purple. So I'll just read a little bit about Ram. It's from the first canto, chapter 12. Just a short description of Ram. So I'm reading from first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 12, text 19, in the purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Ram, and he gives a short description. The Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnated himself as Sri Ram, accepting the sonhood of his pure devotee, Maharaj Dasarath, the king of Ayodhya. Lord Ram descended along with his plenary portions, and all of them appeared as his younger brothers. When he was just a young boy, he helped the great sage Vishvamitra by killing Subahu and striking Marichi, the she-demon. Let me see. Lord Ramachandra is the ideal king for maintaining and protecting the highest culture of humanity, known as Brahmanya Dharma. The Lord is specifically the protector of the cows and the brahmanas, and hence he enhances the prosperity of the world. He was present in the bow sacrifice of King Janaka, and by breaking the invincible bow of Shiva, he married Sita Devi, the daughter of Maharaj Janaka. After his marriage, he accepted exile in the forest for 14 years by the order of his father, Maharaj Dasarath. To help the administration of the demigods, he killed 14,000 demons. And by the intrigues of the demons, his wife, Sita Devi, was kidnapped by Ravan. He made friendship with Sugriva, who was helped by the Lord to kill Vali, the brother of Sugriva. With the help of Lord Ram, Sugriva became the king of the Varanas, a race of gorillas. Varanas, it's a kind of gorilla. The Lord built a floating bridge of stones on the Indian Ocean between India and Sri Lanka. And Sri Lanka was the kingdom of Ravan, who had kidnapped Sita. And then later on, there was the battle between Ram and Ravan, and Ravan was killed. On the expiry of 14 years, after settling the affairs in Lanka, the Lord came back to his kingdom, Ayodhya, by flower plain. The great epic Ramayana is the history of Lord Ram's activities in the world, and the authoritative Ramayana was written by the great poet Valmiki. But that's a little bit about Ram, because he was mentioned in the purport. But the story that I wanted to tell today is the story of how Arjuna got the flag with Hanuman. Why has Arjuna got a flag with Hanuman on it? So this story is from the Mahabharata. The Pandavas were in exile in the forest, and they were in a place near the Gandhamadan hill, and in the breeze a very nice lotus, a golden 1,000-petaled lotus, blew on the wind, and it landed near Draupadi, and she said, "Oh, I would love to have some more of these." So Bhima went off to get some more of these special golden 1,000-petaled lotuses. But this mountain is actually meant for demigods, not for human beings. So I'll read little bits of the story. Thereafter, Bhima continued to ascend the mountain in search of the particular lotus flowers that Draupadi wanted. So Bhima's climbing the mountain, and Hanuman knows he's not allowed to go there, and he'll get into trouble if he does. You know, he'll get all kinds of rakshas, and they'll try to kill him. So what Hanuman did was he went and laid down on the path. So Hanuman lies down on the path, and then Bhima comes there. And so Hanuman lay there as if he was very tired and he was yawning. So Bhima comes up, and he sees Hanuman, and the monkey just sort of half opens his eyes, and he looks at him indifferently, and in a soft voice Hanuman said, "I'm ill, I'm sleeping here quite peacefully. Why did you wake me?" And Bhima doesn't know who it is. So then Hanuman says, "Can you just move to the side a little bit? Tell them to move aside. I can't call them to the side a little bit. Remy, go and sit by your mum." And so Hanuman knows that this area is meant for the demigods. So he says, "Just spend some time here, have a little rest, and then after you're refreshed, you can go back to where you came from." Bhima introduced himself and also asked, "Who are you?" And Hanuman said, "I am simply a monkey, but I will not allow you to pass because it will mean your destruction." Bhima did not like these words, and in response he threatened, "Monkey, you let me pass or face the consequences." Now Bhima is a really big guy, and he thinks this is just some regular monkey. The monkey replied, "I'm too sick to move, but if you like, you can jump over me." And Bhima said, "No, I can't do that, because the Lord is dwelling in your heart as Paramatma, and I can't jump over him." But otherwise, I would have jumped over the whole mountain like Hanuman did. And so the monkey says, who is Hanuman?" Bhima replied, "He's my brother and the hero of the epic Ramayana that describes the pastimes of the personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, that took place on this earth a long time ago. I am equal to my brother in all respects, so you had better move aside, or you will witness my prowess, and I'll send you to the abode of Yamaraj." Hanuman knew that Bhima was intoxicated with pride because of his great strength. So he didn't become angry. He just said, "You should have some compassion with me in my old age. I don't have the strength to get up, but if you want, you can just move my tail to the side. Then you'll be able to go past." On hearing this, Bhima thought, "I will grab this stupid monkey by the tail and swing him around and hurl him to the abode of Yamaraj." While smiling slightly, Bhima casually caught hold of Hanuman's tail with his left hand. However, to his amazement, he couldn't even move the tail an inch. So then Bhima then grabbed the monkey's tail firmly with both hands. Bhima can swing around an elephant, but he couldn't even lift the monkey's tail one inch. And he tried and he tried, even though he exerted his full strength so that his eyebrows contracted, he's sweating, and he still can't move this monkey's tail. And then he realized who it is. He's completely humiliated. With great bashfulness, he approached Hanuman. After bowing before him, he begged for forgiveness with folded hands. Bhima submitted himself to the monkey as a surrendered disciple and once again asked, "Who are you?" This time the monkey replied, "I am Hanuman, the son of the wind god Vayu, begotten through the wife of the monkey chief Keshari." Bhima affectionately bowed down before his elder brother and said, "Hanuman, I am so fortunate to be able to see you. Now that I've gained this opportunity, will you please show me the gigantic form that you assumed to jump the ocean to Lanka?" So he asked him, and first he says no, but in the end, then he does. Bhima says, insisted, "Hanuman, unless I am able to see your gigantic form, I will not be able to leave here satisfied." Upon hearing this, Hanuman smiled and began to expand his body until it reached the gigantic proportions that he had assumed while taking his monumental leap to Lanka. He became as big as a mountain and had copper-colored eyes and sharp teeth. And then Bhima's hair started standing on end, and he said, "Okay, it's enough now, that's enough." And he didn't want him to expand anymore. And so then he goes back to his small form, and then his Hanuman says, "Please remember me from time to time and take a benediction. If you want, I'll go and kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra for you right away. I'll arrest Duryodhan and bring him here to Yudhisthira." And Bhima replied, "Hanuman, I think that our victory has already become assured just by receiving your well wishes. The only benediction I request is that I and my brothers may always remain under your protection." So Hanuman said, "I will help you by positioning myself on Arjuna's flag. By my ferocious roars, I will diminish the strength of your enemies so that Arjuna will easily be able to kill them." So that's how Hanuman got on the flag of Arjuna. Back to the Bhagavad Gita. So we're supposed to do text 21 and 22 as well. It's like 1.5 verses. Arjuna uvacha senyo ubayo majye ratam stapaya mechuta yavadeta niriksheham yodukaman avastitan karmaya sahayodavyam asmin arana samujame. Translation: Arjuna said, "O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms." Purport: although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never fails in his affection for his devotees. You see, in the verse, he's called Achyuta. That's translated as, "O infallible one." And Prabhupada's giving some different meanings of the word Achyuta. He never fails in his affection for his devotees. And thus he's addressed herein as infallible. As charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna. And since he did not hesitate to do so, he is addressed as infallible. Although he had accepted the position of a charioteer for his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. In all circumstances, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishikesh, the Lord of the total senses. The relationship between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. The servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord, and similarly, the Lord is always seeking an opportunity to render some service to his devotee. He takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees assuming the advantageous position of ordering him than he does in being the giver of orders. Since he is master, everyone is under his orders, and no one is above him to order him. But when he finds that a pure devotee is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure, although he is the infallible master of all circumstances. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna had no desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to come onto the battlefield by the obstinacy of Duryodhan, who was never agreeable to any peaceful negotiation. Therefore, he was very anxious to see who the leading persons present on the battlefield were. Although there was no question of a peacemaking endeavor on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and to see how much they were bent upon demanding an unwanted war. So this is Bhakta Vatsala. Krishna is serving his devotees. Arjuna said, "O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms." Now Krishna thinks this is great fun. He's sitting on the chariot. So most chariots have got two horses, but this one's got four horses. So you've got two hands and you have to hold the reins of all four horses at the same time. So Arjuna's asked him to be the charioteer. And for Krishna, this is Leela. Krishna's having fun. He's come down. He's taking part in a great drama, which he has written himself. But he's taking part in it. And all the time, whether Krishna is stealing sweets or breaking milk pots or whether he's killing demons, he's always smiling. He's never, you know, depressed or whatever he does with a slight smile. They never say he was, you know, grinning like a Cheshire cat. He's always got a slight smile on his face, even when he's killing demons. So he's sitting on the chariot there, and so Arjuna's on the back, and he's down, so behind the horses, and he's got these four reins, and he's driving the chariot. And Arjuna says, "Oh, can you drive in between the two armies?" Now, these two armies have been marching for days, weeks, probably even months, because they have foot soldiers. I was going to look up how much is one Akshuhini, but I forgot. They're coming from all different directions, according to Srila Prabhupada, in some purples, from the whole world. And, you know, there are no trains and buses and aeroplanes. They have to go there by on foot. They have elephants and they have horses, but most of the soldiers, the infantry, is literally walking there, walking to the battlefield. So this takes them a long time to get there. You know, it probably takes some of them months to get there. And on the way, there are camps set up for certain kings so that they can spend the night comfortably. So thousands and 640 million soldiers and generals and they're all marching to Kurukshetra. I was trying to imagine how they must be setting up camps like small cities. They have to feed all these people for all this time until they're all there. And then when they're there, it takes 18 days. So they've probably got lots of cooks engaged, and the Kumbh Mela? They set up like a whole city for a few days. Must be something like that. So Arjuna's, Krishna's having fun. I mean, if Krishna wants to kill someone, he's got his Sudarshan Chakra. And he doesn't even need his Sudarshan. He got it as a gift from Agni. Krishna got his Sudarshan Chakra from Agni as a gift. He doesn't even need a Sudarshan Chakra. Remember the story that Balaram, he kills Rama Harshanasutra with a blade of grass? Whacks him with a blade of grass and kills him? Now Krishna can do that too. He doesn't even need a blade of grass. There's this saying in Bengali, Rake Krishna Marake, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. Who Krishna will protect, no one can kill. And who Krishna wants to kill, no one can protect. I looked it up on the Vedabase. Prabhupada says it often, but it's there. They don't know the source. So So that's what I prepared for today. Has anyone got any questions? Sorry? Yes, Hanuman is from Treta Yuga. It's his big brother. He must be like a million years old or something when they meet. Yeah, yeah. Just to threaten him like that. That's why he bows down and he's like folding his hands and he says, you know, he accepts, he submits as a disciple to him. When? Oh, I haven't got there yet. Yeah. Yes, Hanuman stays on earth as long as they chant Ram's names. As long as the names of Ram are chanted on earth, this long he will stay here. Yeah. There's one story. It's Poundrak. He's pretending to be Krishna. And apparently the story is not in this planet. It's in Patala, lower planetary systems. And so I was watching a movie. And so this story took place in Patala. And there was one village who were chanting Ram. They were Ram Bhaktas. I was thinking, wow, even in the lower planetary systems, they're chanting Ram's names. And there are plenty of Ram Bhaktas here on earth. So, for now, he's on Gandhamadan Hill, if you want to go there. Actually, it's only accessible for demigods. You might not make it. There are Rakshasas who live there. Well, no, when they were in exile, he went there. When the Pandas were in exile. No, it's a place where we're not supposed to go. The exact location I didn't look up. Yes? Because it's meant for the demigods. And we're not quite there yet. Actually, the Pandavas are, that their fathers are demigods. And their wife is born from fire, and they're not ordinary people, the people in this story. When Krishna came in his original form as Krishna to the earth for this saga, the demigods were asked to incarnate at the same time to take birth in these pious families to help him with his lila. So the other people, you know, the gopis, the gopas, they were also the demigods were asked, please you take birth on earth at this time in the Yadavas, the family of the Yadavas, and then you can help with my lila. And then when they got killed, I suppose the ones who were in Kurukshetra, who were on the good side, they all went back to heaven. Everyone who died at Kurukshetra went back to heaven. That was the blessing of Kuru. Who dies at this field, Kshetra, will go back to heaven. Shall we stop here? Oh, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.